Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Do not forget about Wesley Coleman. Matter of fact, Heath not with us today. Another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew talking wall-to-wall Saints for the next hour. So sit back, relax, because we're going to do 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, BS and Beer style. Gentlemen, where is this thing going? How exciting that what seemed to be potentially a season killer when Drew Brees went out against the Rams, now all of a sudden the hope for the future has changed, because now we need to go into depth and really get an understanding of what we think about Teddy Bridgewater and his future with the Saints. After his game against the Tampa Bay Bucks, we win 31-24. The game, the score isn't even indicative of how bad we beat these guys. And now we're in a situation where, listen, I don't want to even bring it up. Tomas, I'm going to start with you, but nothing that I'm saying is a reflection of what's going to happen this year. But I think it's absolutely necessary to start considering what happens if Bridgewater continues to play this way. And when the season is over, Tomas, what are we going to do?
Well, it's very simple. You have to take one game at a time. We'll see what happens when we get there. When Drew is healthy again, you're not sitting him on the bench. He'll be playing the game, so it'll be Teddy on the bench, on the sideline. But it certainly gives us a bunch of possibilities between three quarterbacks who can obviously play this offense. If we happen to win all the games that we need to win in order to get all the way to the Super Bowl in Miami and win that game, well, then it just depends. Does Drew continue to play, or does Drew say, well, I've won two and I'm good to go? Well, it depends. I don't know if Teddy stays. I mean, I like Teddy. I like his personality. I like his attitude. God bless him. I still am not sold that he is the quarterback for this team.
Okay, well, Tomas. Unless, now, hold on, Tomas. You got to play into my hypothetical situation. Look, in my mind, if Brees is ready, and now what I'm thinking is the Saints, as long as Bridgewater keeps playing well, the Saints will not rush him back. But let's say we give him to the bye week, okay? So here's my hypothetical. Let's say Bridgewater continues to play well, throws for, 250 and a plus, and a couple of touchdowns every game, doesn't do anything to hurt us, has a couple of good games in that little stretch. Drew's going to come back. He's going to take over. I don't think anyone's going to argue with that. But then at the end of the season, you have Drew Brees, the great, maybe potentially the best quarterback to ever play the game. You can make that argument. But he is at the end of his career. If you have a quarterback that proves, I'm not talking about now, because I know, look, Tomas, you weren't a big fan of his, but gradually, you have to kind of get on board with him as he starts proving himself. If he does very well, and at the end of the season, you feel like he could be that guy, and again, it's a hypothetical, what do you do if Drew Brees wants to come back?
You have no choice. Drew Brees will come back. You're not going to let him go someplace else. He's going to retire as a Saint. So, therefore, that means Teddy will try to find a deal somewhere. And, God bless him. That's how it goes.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though, Wesley. The teams in the past, Green Bay, the 49ers, even with the Indianapolis Colts, they all let their Hall of Fame quarterbacks walk. In and let the new guy replace him. Are we going to be the only ones that won't do that?
I wouldn't say we're going to be the only ones, but we will be one of the ones that does not do that. Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis, they will not force Drew Brees to retire. Drew Brees will play football and be the starter for the New Orleans Saints until Drew Brees decides he's not going to be the starter for the New Orleans Saints. even if that comes up as deciding between Drew Brees and Teddy Bridgewater, because I do think if Drew Brees is coming back next year, I don't think Teddy can be here next year. I just don't think the money he's, if he plays one or two more games like this, someone's going to pay him. He's not going to tap out at $7.25 million like he did this past year. We're going to talk about a $12 to $16 million contract for Teddy Bridgewater in multiple years with some guaranteed money if he plays two more games like this, and they're just not both going to be here. It's going to be one or the other for sure.
Well, you know, that's absolutely 100%, because, listen, even if Bridgewater was like, look, I'm willing to wait another year, there's no guarantees. If Brees comes back, and you can kind of tell by the way he looks on the sideline, the intensity, that does not look like a guy who's ready to ride off into the sunset. And let's also talk a little bit about these records that you know he has to be filling, a little bit of the I'm losing ground on. He's the all-time leading passer, but there are guys who are still active. Tom Brady is not that far behind him, and Drew Brees has to know that, look, I need to keep padding this as long as I can. So I think his legacy, Tomas, is in question here. So I'm not sure that if Bridgewater's going to get offered a contract, there's no way that both of them are going to stay here. But Tomas, touch a little bit on Brees and his legacy, and do you think he's feeling a little, you know, a little hot breath on his neck about these passing records that he has?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I agree with Wesley. There's just no way that he's going to stay here in New Orleans. If he continues to play the way he's doing, somebody's going to offer him a really nice contract. So you got to go. It's a business. Let's remember that this is a business. Now, you know, Drew, I'm sure he'll continue to play. And whatever he stops playing, that'll be his record. I don't really think he's sitting back there going, ooh, I got to score some more. I got to throw some more yards. But I don't really think that's Drew.
Okay. All right. So Brees, Bridgewater, apparently it does not matter to Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas doesn't care if it's – matter of fact, let's even throw Hill in there. Michael Thomas don't care. He's going to catch balls, and he's going to be an all-world receiver. Wesley, he put a tweet out, and I don't have it in front of me, but it basically said that his price is going up as they speak, and he just signed a new contract. Is that just the way Michael Thomas motivates himself, or is he sending a message out that he's going to be the next Julio Jones who wants an update on his contract every year?
Oh, I think it's Michael Thomas just talking. I don't as much as when his time comes for contracts, I think he's going to, you know, sit out and wait on his contract and all. But I don't see him as somebody that's going to disrupt the team and sit out. I mean, what he did this past year, the way he sat out, one, he was respectful. He didn't say anything about the team. He didn't run his mouth. You didn't hear anything about Michael Thomas is upset. He followed the advice of his agent. He said, it's killing me to not be there, but I'm doing what my agent said. And I think that, honestly, if that would have gone like 3 or 4 more days, he would have probably shown up without a contract. He said he was dying to be there. I think it's the way he motivates himself. He loves talking to the other receivers. He loves talking to the other cornerbacks. And like you said, it doesn't matter who's throwing him the ball. Brees, Taysom Hill, Kamara can throw him a ball too, I'm sure. That guy can catch, and he put the team on his back. He is earning that contract right now. The contract that everybody said basically was impossible for him to earn.
All right, Tomas, Michael Thomas, Nick Toon, all-time greatest Saint receiver, which one? Let's start talking. Yeah, okay, all right.
That's a heck of a comparison there, Dave. I would say to you that for the rest of the world, Michael Thomas.
Well, you know,
for you, Nick Toon, and there might be some holdouts still for Cephas Witherspoon. There you go.
Witherspoon? All right. Well, I tell you what. When we come back, we do have to – we didn't even really touch. I jumped right into it. We didn't talk about the pick'ems, which I think, man, I may have beat my record of 7 in 1 week. But we have to talk about that, Tomas. So load it up. We want to talk about who the winners are. And then, of course, we're going to do the good, the bad, the ugly. There is so much Saints football to talk about. Really, it's an exciting time right now because there's so much the dynamics of what's going on with the Saints. Very exciting, very exciting. Bridgewater's playing well. We're still, I think we're in the third place to seed. The 49ers, can y'all believe that? The 49ers of all teams playing the way they're playing. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. Tons of Saints football to talk.
I'll never be your face.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew, Wesley Coleman, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. We are talking wall-to-wall Saints, and the Saints beat the brakes off of, for lack of a better description, the Buccaneers, 31-24. The game really was never that close in the first half. You know, I don't think everybody's completely confident about exactly what the Saints are, or at least maybe not going into this game. We had hopes. We were thinking that maybe it could be this way. But quite frankly, in the second half, the Saints just turned it up. The defensive line, incredible. We have to talk about it. But before we get to those things, Tomas, please give us a rundown on the pick'ems. I didn't look, but I'm sure I'm somewhere there in the top, I don't know, 50 or so out of 75. Got to be somewhere in there.
Well, we got somebody named Joe Groove at number one.
Joe Groove.
Yep. Cajun Billy at two. Orion at three. Jazz picks at four, Turner's Burnus at fifth. And then we drop all the way down to 10th place, where a little dice has fallen. So there you go. And then, of course, the people who really know what they're doing,
they're
tied at 16th. That's right.
Nice.
That would be Wesley and myself.
Tied at 16th.
And you, Dave? Well, luckily there's 75 on this list, Dave. Where are you, Dave?
I don't know, but you know how my strategy. I like to lure everyone into a false sense of security, make them feel good about themselves. And because, let's face it, if I was at the top, y'all would assume it was rigged or something. So I have to you know, pace myself.
So Dave, you're meaning the people at the bottom, in the bottom five, you're letting them get a sense of security that they're going to finish in the bottom five, and then you're going to come for them, right?
Yeah, I don't want any people quitting and everything thinking they don't have a chance. I want people to think they have a chance. All right,
Dave.
It's time for that segment.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for Good and the Bad and the Ugly.
Gentlemen, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I don't know. There is some criticism, but there's not a lot of good. There's not a lot of bad. A lot of good to talk about. So, Wesley, we'll start with you. Give us your first good.
Well, I'm not going to take Michael Thomas. I'll leave that for somebody. But
okay.
I am going to take the other, again, low-hanging fruit with Lattimore. What Lattimore's doing the last 2 weeks is just insane. Amari Cooper, if nobody knows, this week caught over 200 yards of receiving, 226 yards on 11 catches. So anybody thinking that he was shut down because of an ankle injury last week or anything like that, you're just fooling yourself. That was Marshawn Lattimore. And this week, so we got Mike Evans. Mike Evans, typically, I mean, always one of the top three or four receivers talked about in the game, kind of unstoppable, big, tall, super fast guy, lit Lattimore up to start the year last year. So this has been a personal kind of chippy relationship between the two of them. Not sure if anybody has him on a fantasy team, but Mike Evans had zero catches for 0 yards. He did have a football bounce off of him or get close to his hands three times. He did not show up on the stat sheet besides three attempted passes to him.
That's insane for a man of that caliber and the way that he performs on a routine basis. Lattimore is on a whole different level. And started off the season again, there were starting to be some criticisms. And I mean, but is it not interesting how the Saints, for the last couple of years, we start off slow and then the defense starts off slow and then they start improving right about this same time, week four, week five, the defense starts playing better. So it's not unfamiliar, Tomas.
Well, and here's the thing, too. Just sorry, Tomas, but I was going to say on Lattimore is the last couple of weeks we've had big-time receivers and people have been talking about whether or not he only gets up for the big receivers. Let's test that this week. Jacksonville's got young receivers. DJ Chark from LSU is having a good season, but he's not a big receiver in the NFL yet. He's had a few couple games, a couple long passes. Last year he did nothing. So let's see this week when he doesn't have some all pro across from him. What's Lattimore going to do? Is he going to shut down a receiver, or are we going to see Lattimore play down to his competition? Like, this is a test for him.
Interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Tomas, do you have a good that you want to share with us?
Well, yeah, I could go one big one and say the offensive line, but I'm going to stick with one guy. I'm going to stick with Ramczyk. I think that this young man has really, just like Wesley was talking about Lattimore shutting everybody down, this young man at right tackle has shut everybody down coming from that side. And I think that that's part of the reason where Teddy's feeling a little bit better as quarterback, is that the time is better and better for him to be back there. He's able to step into the pocket as opposed to, be running for his life from either side. But Ramczyk has really, I can't imagine at the pace he's going right now, if he's not a Pro Bowl selection, shame on the NFL. Shame on the fellow players, because really, he is just unbelievable in his gameplay at right tackle. So no, that would be my good.
He's the thing about Ramczyk is that, or any offensive lineman, when you're doing a great job, it's almost like you make it look easy, and it's nobody notices you. And I think that's what Ramczyk is becoming. You don't really notice him a whole bunch because he's just doing his job, and he's dominating. And the Saints' offensive line, now look, the last couple of weeks we played a couple of good defenses, good individual players. And our offensive line, I even questioned it last week. I mean, is our offensive line overrated? This week, I think they're starting to really show that maybe they weren't. I mean, I do believe with all the changes, but the changes at quarterback, it's a huge change, that there's some adjustments that needed to be made, maybe even some mental adjustments that needed to be made. So now moving on, I think I want to go with, and there's obviously a few ways, a few directions that we can go, and this may be my third week in a row where I pick Marcus Davenport. And the reason that I keep bringing so much attention to the guys, because A, I would be lying if I said I knew something was going to happen, but I saw potential. And then the fans that just with the zero patience. I mean, there are some guys that I don't care. You know, the team gave up 4 first-round draft picks from you. That doesn't mean the player is going to play better or worse. It's just what the team chose to give up to acquire a player. But we saw the potential. We saw the athleticism. And then even going into this year in the preseason, I remember people criticizing. I'm like, look, I just don't think it's fair. He has turned into an absolute beast, and I don't think that he's even close to reaching his potential, because – I still believe that he hasn't truly refined or developed a whole arsenal of pass rush moves. I think that he still has tons of development in pass rushing. And at this point, he's been absolutely, I mean, completely disruptive in just about every game. I don't know, maybe I actually can't even remember back to game one. But he's been a disruptive player for almost the entire season so far, this far into the season.
Yeah, something about both of the ones that y'all picked. So, Tomas, Ramczyk, I mean, we're talking about this year. Ramczyk went up against J.J. Watt, shut him out. Okay, just so everybody knows, to catch up, J.J. Watt is leading the NFL with 35 quarterback pressures or hits. Like, he's dominating, and he got shut out in the first week.
Right.
And since
then,
he's been awesome. He gets Jadeveon Clowney inspired up there with a big Seahawks defense. They're playing at home really hard for an offensive lineman. Shuts him out. Then he gets Tank Lawrence, big, just signed a big contract, big guy for the Cowboys, shuts him down. And then we got Shaquille Barrett this last week. He's got nine. Yep. He comes into the game with 9 sacks, 9.5 tackles for loss, 2 passes deflected, and an interception. He gets none of those stats in this game. He gets a couple tackles, but no tackles for loss, no quarterback pressures, nothing. I mean, Ramczyk is having one of the best seasons that I've ever seen an offensive lineman have. If we go to the PFF scores, he's the number 3 rated tackle in all of football. Nobody has played the level of competition that he's played, and he's still ranking that high. And then just adding in, agreed, Dave, Marcus Davenport, what he's doing is ridiculous. I mean, this is a guy, and again, I think there's still people, it seems like every week, having to be convinced about what he's really doing and how good he's really playing. But I know going in after our game, going into Monday Night Football, he was 6th in the league in total pressures. Cam Jordan was seventh. He's got more quarterback pressures than Cam Jordan. And again, he went up against with who we've played this year. Now, the Texans don't have a great offensive line. Laramie Tunsil's an amazing tackle.
Right.
Yeah, the Rams do have a very decent offensive line. The Seahawks, they're terrible. The Cowboys, number one rated offensive line in football coming in. And he actually injures who a lot of people consider the best tackle in football. And then we're playing the Buccaneers, who put 55 points up last week and threw for 385 yards. Obviously, they can block. This is a guy's – again, the level of competition he's facing up against tackles is high, and he's disrupting quarterbacks.
Absolutely, man. You talked about the Bucs offensive line. Doing my research for the game last week, it's the Bucs, so you think it's not going to be – I was surprised to see where they were rated – with their pass blocking, run blocking. And listen, you said the Rams have a good defense. They have probably the most dominant pass rusher, and not that he's and the Buccaneers were able to keep those guys at bay in order to get that type of passing offense going against them. So what I'm trying to say is the Bucs have a good offensive line. It's not just because they're the Bucs and they were terrible. They actually have a good offensive line, and the Saints offensively and defensively are putting guys on the back of milk cartons. It just coming up missing. Pass rushers, don't hear from them. Wide receivers that are supposed to dominate, don't hear from them. And, I mean, this team, without Drew Brees, sometimes I wonder and I question, are the Saints really that good, or is Drew Brees so good that he makes the offensive line look better and all those different factors? Now all of a sudden you take that element and you find out that, listen, you don't get to a Super Bowl just because your quarterback's good. The whole team, the entire team has to be good. And Tomas, I think that what we're seeing is, I don't even want to say potentially, I think this is the best team the Saints have ever fielded. And I don't know if it's the same type of teams that we've had in the past, but to me, the best team from top to bottom the Saints have ever put on a field.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that when you look at position by position, this is probably one of the absolute best teams in that there's no real big fall off. You know, you might have a guy who ranks 10, 10 out of 10 being the top of the elite, and then the guy next to him is a 9. So that's not much fall off, where in the past, you might have a 9 and the guy next to him might be a 5. So, yeah, I think that this team is excellently put together. Yes, Leslie.
I was going to say, guys, too, the other thing, what's crazy right now, so the last 2 weeks before the game was played, we were the number 3 ranked team in the NFL by pretty much everybody. That was without Drew Brees on the team. That wasn't, where we think they're going to be at the end of the season after Drew comes back. Now, when these new ratings came out, the Chiefs just lost. We're going to be number 2 behind the Patriots. This is without Drew Brees, our best player, one of the best players in the history of football. We're the number 2 team in football right now. And if we look at it too, the Cowboys game was what it was. They have a great front seven. They messed with a lot of quarterbacks. But the other two games in this that Teddy started against the Seahawks and the Buccaneers, they were both, 6 and 7 point games. Those games were never that close. Neither one of those games in the whole second half was anywhere competitive or anybody was worried about something that wasn't beyond just like a fluke, crazy couple of plays. Those games were dominated, and those are, again, the Seahawks were undefeated, the Cowboys were undefeated, and the Buccaneers were coming off a 55-point drubbing of who most people consider one of the top 5 teams in the NFL at home.
Yeah. All right, so we talked about him at the beginning of the show, Michael Thomas. It doesn't matter if Taysom Hill's throwing the ball to him. It doesn't matter if it's Drew Brees or Bridgewater. He's dominating regardless of who's throwing the ball to him. Wesley, give me some thoughts.
Man, I mean, what he's putting together as a season, no matter who's throwing the ball to him, is remarkable. First of all, he's on pace right now to break the receiving receptions record and the yardage record. He is leading the NFL in receptions and receiving yards. And what he's doing and putting together, again, with a backup quarterback that supposedly can't throw the ball downfield and kind of struggles with his accuracy, again, that's given Teddy Bridgewater some credit for the reputation that maybe he didn't deserve. But Michael Thomas has stepped up, and what he did this past week, you could tell he was like, he went to Teddy at some point and said, just throw me the ball. I'm taking over. They can't stop me. I don't care how guarded it looks like I am. Throw me the ball. I got you.
All right, Tomas, Jared Cook, it was obvious the Saints were trying to get him worked into the game plan. He was more effective, still had a few issues. Is he getting closer? Is he getting is he ready to contribute, or are you not too excited?
I'm not really too excited, to tell you the truth, because I think it's still at this point it's a chemistry issue. I just don't think, you know, it's sort of like what happened in the camp, right? In camp, we were all talking about, boy, this guy, wide receiver, catching everything that's thrown to him. And where is he? He's on, you know, the backup squad running scout, you know. And I think that Cook, you know, he looked good in preseason in the camp. But I just don't think he has the connection yet with not the quarterbacks. I think he just doesn't have the connection yet with Sean. I think that's really what it is. I think that Sean is looking at what he can call, and he's just not calling Cook.
You know, I agree with you, but I think I'm seeing progress, Tomas. Look, don't go anywhere. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. When we come back, more Saints football. That's what we do. It's all we do.
This segment brought to you by BS and Beer Podcast. Twice the entertainment, half the calories.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew, talking wall-to-wall Saints football. If you weren't with us earlier, we did the good, the bad, the ugly. We talked about Michael Thomas. We talked about a dominating Saints defense, Lattimore shutting receivers down. But it is that time of the show where we do a little criticism here. Not everybody likes it. I've gotten some emails, Tomas. Not everybody likes whenever you talk bad about the Saints, especially when they're winning. But it's part of the whole thing. So I'm going to start off with Wesley. Wesley, give me your bad ugly.
Man, something I've been excited about that I'm starting to lose already. some faith in. Deontay Harris, man. It's the guy that I've – every time I've seen a punt to him, I've been so excited about, like, man, what's he going to do? What's the movie going to make? He had a return in this game that he lost because of a penalty, but he made a couple of great moves on it. But he is going to get cut if he keeps fumbling the ball. There is a few things that we know. It doesn't matter if you're a rookie or if you're an experienced veteran that Sean Payton's not going to put up with, and that is his punt returner and kick returner not securing the ball. Tell you, there's been a couple situations. I'm not a Bruce Arians fan. I'm not on his side, but I understand why he was upset. I don't know how we got that ball back. I heard the description of it. I know I also saw what I saw on the replay. It looked like we lost the ball. I tell you what, Deontay Harris got to start catching the ball. I don't know. Well, he's caught so many balls through college and all, but it's got to start right now. This has to stop.
The thing about it, Wesley, is what's even more scary is that. Is it three games now that he's put a ball on the ground throughout the first five games of the season? The
thing games. He's done it three times in two games. Right. He did also have one in the preseason where he dropped the ball too. But no, during the regular season, it's just two games, but it's three times.
Okay, so what maybe even concerns me more is, okay, fielding the ball. Okay, so he has a drop. You say, okay, you know, he's a rookie. Let's get that out of his system. Let's get the experience. The thing about this is it wasn't a drop at the catch. Now he's fumbling at, you know, after catching the ball. I'm not ready to pull the plug, so don't even mistake in my criticism for that. But the point is that now I don't know if critical is the right word, but I think now it's in your head that this kid has a problem he needs to fix. And Tomas, we cannot have a situation where you have a team that – we just got finished talking about this is the best roster perhaps the Saints have ever had, and lose a game in the playoffs because your punt returner puts one on the ground.
Well, hold on now. We're a long way away from playoffs.
Playoffs.
You know, we're a long way away from that. Now, here's what I understand from all the professionals out there. In the college situation that he was in at
Assumption.
In the league he was in, yes, and in the league that he was in, over, you know, 90% of the time, the ball comes in as a nice, beautiful little spiral to him. And so, you know, the competition isn't that, you know, he outperformed his competition and he could catch the ball. In the pros, you know, again, you had to figure it out here. These punters in a pro, They can kick spirals. They can kick end over end. They can kick corner kicks. They can kick it with reverse bounce, with forward bounce. You know, these are pros. So the issue, from what I understand, is that he's having a hard time judging the ball when it's end over end. So to me, it's a simple fix. You know, we have the best punter in the NFL. All he has to do is say, "Well, you just kick me the ball about 10 times every day, end over end, and let me get used to it." That's it. That's the way you solve this issue. As far as fumbling it after he caught the ball, look, you know, when you get tattooed, you get tattooed. I don't care if you're, you know, 5'6", or you're 6'5", or you're, you know, 7 feet tall. When these guys come down there at full speed and tattoo you, it's going to hurt, you know. So I'm not worrying so much about that one. You know, I'm more concerned with muffing the punt when it's coming at you. And I think he just needs to work at it in practice. That would be my, you know, my concern. And I would agree with Wesley. I don't know how we ended up with the ball, because clearly every replay I saw was like, we don't have that ball. But, you know, Tampa got the ball back when a bad throw where Kamara hit him on the hip. Yeah. So, really, they went down the field and scored 7. So, it's pretty much a wash as far as I'm concerned.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
But
I don't think that changes the game. But, yeah, I, same thing. I actually, until you guys reminded me, I forgot about the fact that he put it on the ground. We got the ball back. And yeah. How we got it back, the explanation was that they didn't have a clear recovery. If I was a Buccaneers fan, I don't know if I would be really happy with that call. But Tomas, give us your bad. Which situation, player, whatnot did you not like on Sunday?
Well, I'm going to go back to what I've been saying from the very beginning of the season. My bad is the referees. We were just talking about it. You know, not just in the Saints game, but in every game that I watched over the weekend. You know, I believe that in our game, the referees got together before, had a couple of beers and said, you know, maybe beers and donuts, or I don't know, slits and whatever. And they said, you know what? We're going to call every defensive holding play we can possibly call. Because there was offensive holding all over the place, but they didn't call any of that. How many times in this game they called defensive holding? I mean, it just got to the point where you're like, really? Another defensive holding play? So to me, the referees. Now, you know, I guess I can just talk about it till I'm blue in the face. Nothing's going to get done. These are the same idiots we're going to have for the rest of the season. So it's just a question of deciding, you know, put up with it and try to overcome. And it's, like I said, it's not just the Saints. I'm sure Arians had every right. And you saw in the Dallas game, couldn't happen to a better team. But in a right. Dallas game where Mr. Little, coach of Dallas Cowboys, threw down a flag and said, you, beep, boom, whatever. And he got an extra 15 yards. Really?
Yeah.
God have, you know.
I actually tweeted about that, and I'm not one to defend the Cowboys, but in that situation where the referees made a clear and obvious mistake, forcing a team, in this case the Cowboys, to throw the flag, which the replay flag, which cost them, they have no more challenges, the challenge flag, and they have no more challenges. So it puts them at a competitive disadvantage because the referees missed what seemed to be a pretty obvious call. And so how dare him get mad at the referee? And he, I don't know what he said, but at the end of the day, listen, we're not here to worry about the referee's feelings. It'd be one thing if the referee, if he was standing in his face and his spit flying, I can understand that. But you know what, if a coach just throws his flag or does anything and makes a comment, the referee needs to turn around and walk away, because this game is not about the referees and if they're offended or got their feelings hurt or any of that. If they're touched or just look, coach, go the other way after a couple of seconds of it, you know, but it wasn't that kind of situation. I get really irritated when referees think it's not baseball, you know, throwing guys out when it really don't affect the game, you know what I'm saying? So in this situation, that 15 yard penalty, although it couldn't happen to, like you said, Tomas, a better team, my bad was when it happened, the situation probably wasn't as crucial. But in the fourth quarter, the Saints, at the end of the fourth quarter, the Saints were in position to kick a field goal and went for it on fourth down. Now, look, we make it great. If we kick the field goal, we're in a position where, and I want to point out, at that time of the game, I'm almost positive the Saints were up by 14. But if you kick the field goal, the game's over. if they don't kick the field goal, we're in a position where if somehow or another at the end of that game, I said at the beginning of the show that the game wasn't as close as the 31-24 score indicated, but if the Buccaneers pull a Houston where they throw a pass, somebody falls down or something, next thing you know, the game's tied. I think in that situation, the Saints should have kicked the field goal. That would have been the right decision, and you eliminate any opportunities for some crazy play to happen at the end of the game.
Well, when you have our defense, though, I don't think you have to worry about it. Our defense is, you know, and I'll throw out another kudo out there. Eli Apple actually played a really good game this time, too. And that interception that they called back, he was in perfect position. He played that exactly the way a number one defensive back should play that corner. So, you know, I think our play of defense has a lot to do with how Sean is calling the game.
Yeah, Eli Apple, actually, just throwing that in there, actually got the highest grade on defense this week with an 80.4 coverage grade. Like he had a great week, even though yeah. Lattimore is getting the credit. Yeah. I agree with you, Dave. You know, it's one of those, again, hindsight's always 20/20. If we bang it in right there, the rut by 14, and we're just kneeling on the ball a couple of times to go out. But there's a reason that we just signed Will Lutz to the contract that we did, and it's for him to put us up by 17 to where there are no freak crazy plays that mess with anything. I did just want to throw in an extra tiny little bad. I realized that we had like the Oprah event going on with sacks of you get a sack, you get a sack, everybody gets a sack. And, you know, we've got the shimmy, we've got the stack them up. What we don't need is the worm. Like Carl Granderson, and your trials and tribulations and, you know, allegedly this and allegedly that and whatever you've gone through, man, I'm sorry. I'm excited for you to learn and grow on this team. Don't do the worm, man. That's not okay.
The thing
save it for the locker room. Teddy can do to the chopper while you're doing the worm on the ground, but not on the field, buddy.
The thing about it, I don't know if he just didn't expect to get a sack because he did some other things and it kind of took him a while to say, what? Like, he didn't have that planned out. But what generation? He's not old enough to even remember that. So, you know, it must have been something about maybe his mom and dad used to do it around the house. And he's like, yeah, the worm. That's going to – and next thing look, right off the bat, when I saw who got the sack, I literally laughed out loud. I'm like, is that Grant? I don't even know his name real well. Granderson?
Carl Granderson.
I was like, who is that? And I realized who it was, and I literally laughed out loud. I mean – I don't understand. Like, how did this happen? The guy gets, you know, undrafted free agent. Apparently, his draft grade was higher than that. But when I researched, yep. It's not like he's
fourth round, third. Right? Wasn't
fourth round.
It's not like he was supposed to be a second round pick or something like that. But the guy gets in trouble. He's in jail, misses all of training camp. Then he comes back to the team. You think that maybe try to sneak him on the practice squad. Nope, they just put him on active roster and he gets a sack. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We come back. We're going to do our pick and we have some final Saints thoughts. Don't go anywhere.
BS and Beer Podcast, where we realize that taking candy from a baby is the responsible thing to do.
Welcome back to Home Stretch, the BS and Beer Podcast crew, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, not with us today. Wesley Coleman, Tomas Mauricio. Listen, if you're enjoying the show, maybe you missed part of it, you want to listen to the entire show, find us, our podcast, on iTunes or Google Play or actually just about any website. If you type up BS and Beer Saints, you will find us. So if you want to listen to us in the summer or when we're not on the radio, it's always an opportunity to do that. We appreciate having you listen to us. All right. A couple of things I want to talk about is the Saints have been involved in the rumor mill. And the guys that we're hearing about, receivers, you know, one's a tight end in Tyler Eifert, two receivers, Emmanuel Sanders, A.J. Green, and then Tomas brought up to my attention Dez Bryant back in the news. You know, he's rehabbing. Is he ready to play? He's a guy that I see him fitting into the Saints offense if he's in shape and if he's recovered. So, Wesley, these names, receivers, the Saints, and the rumor mill, it's obvious that we need another target. Do you see any potential there?
Yeah, I would say that I'm 100% out on Tyler Eifert. I would rather, if we're just throwing out names, I'd rather bring back Ben Watson, who got cut by the Patriots today, if we're just going to bring in a tight end over him. But he'd be cheaper, and he's not Tyler Eifert. Emmanuel Sanders and A.J. Green are really interesting. One, I think that they're completely different players, and the fact that A.J. Green is a superstar wide receiver that's coming off an injury. Emmanuel Sanders is a very good wide receiver. So if people are trying to put them in the same category, I mean, A.J. Green at one time was being talked about as a top 10 all-time receiver. He's an amazing guy, where Emmanuel Sanders is a good receiver. What you're comparing is Emmanuel Sanders with his exact skill set and what he plays in the slot probably fits our offense better. Having said that, I don't think there's any position that A.J. Green can't play and any route that he can't run. Both of them are really interesting. Both of them would take, we'd have to clear some money and move a little money around to make them work. But if A.J. Green is healthy, him as a second wide receiver, you can't even imagine having somebody like that. All that together with having to trade somebody and having to pay him, I'd be really interested in seeing if Dez Bryant's healthy. He looks really fast. He looks really powerful in the videos that he's posting. And he has said, the Saints get the first shot at me.
Yeah. I do find it funny, Tomas, the first shot at me, like there's just teams beating down the door. And look, listen, guys, I'll give you the first shot. But I don't think there were that many teams interested in him last year before he was injured. But I am excited about his ability, his potential in our offense.
I mean, to be fair, Baltimore and Cleveland both admitted they offered him multi-year deals, one-off prove-it deals last year. And he turned them both down because he didn't think they were good fits.
Right. So I think he's a good fit with the Saints. And like Wesley said, based on what I've seen so far of the videos he's posted, he certainly looks like he's in much better shape than he was last year. He's making really good cuts. Some of the videos he posted, he definitely was planting and turning. So to me, I appreciate A.J. Green. I appreciate Emmanuel Sanders. But we don't have to give up picks and we don't have to give up money when it comes to Dez Bryant. And, I think he will definitely want to be with the team that's heading towards the playoffs and possible Super Bowl as opposed to somebody who's not. So I think Dez Bryant, look for this. If the Saints are serious that they can't find somebody to be the second real wide receiver out there, don't be surprised if we have our break. And then when we come back, Drew comes back and they sign Dez Bryant. It wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
Well, Tomas, I think I agree with you. To have the thought of a guy like A.J. Green, a healthy A.J. Green across from Thomas would be just an exciting...
I hear you.
But what we would have to give up and the salary that we'd have to absorb...
Exactly.
I think it's restrictive. And Dez Bryant, last year, he was out of shape, but I think that, the guy was not long removed. We're no longer talking about a number one go-to, you have to make the play guy. We're talking about a number two. We're talking about a guy that, he's going to muscle up some balls, help us convert some third downs, maybe get a couple of looks in the red zone. I think he's ideal for that, and we wouldn't have to give much money and no compensation. I think he's the best way to go in this situation. Although, man, I tell you what, Emmanuel Sanders and A.J. Green, different players, but both of them are very exciting players. The thought of them in our offense, Emmanuel Sanders would bring wiggle that we don't have in our offense. And A.J. Green, just a dominant receiver that's on the downside of his career but still could produce. The problem with him is just injury history and the money for all these guys. Tyler Eifert.
But you also have to take into consideration chemistry and confidence. I think that Drew, just based on what we saw last year when he came in, I think Drew will have much better chemistry and confidence quicker with a Dez Bryant than he would with an A.J. Green or Emmanuel Sanders. Granted, they're great players, but again, I go back, we don't have to give up the same kind of money and we don't have to give up picks for players. It's a much better fit, I think, with Dez Bryant for the run after our break.
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter, near side to the 40, and John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
All right, so it's time for the to pay the bills, fellas. I'm a little bit further behind than I anticipated. I might have to start making my move this week. So I'm gonna start with Panthers Buccaneers. The Bucs are 2-point dogs to the Panthers, the scamless Panthers. What you say, Wesley?
I'm going to take the 2 points, and I'm going to take the Buccaneers at home.
Okay, Tomas.
Yeah, but I agree. 2 points in the Bucs.
I got the Bucs. I think the Bucs are, we might have put a whooping on them, but I think they're a better team. And I tell you what, the Panthers, they're playing really well with a backup quarterback. I don't know if we're ever going to see Scam, and that's going to – I mean, all my jokes, all the audio clips that over the years, done, over. We have to start all over. So the next game, let's go – Texans and Chiefs. The Chiefs are 5-point favorite at home. Wesley.
Well, I'm going to say that the Colts have exposed the Chiefs. They've shown everybody how to beat them. Patrick Mahomes' ankle is hurt. And I'm hoping the Texans win.
Tomas.
With all that, that was a good one, though, Wesley.
I thought he was going to pull a Tomas on that one, didn't you?
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs and give up the 5. I think the Chiefs will bounce back.
I'm going to pick the Texans, but I think it's more the same way Wesley feels. The Chiefs just look unbeatable till last week. So let's see if they lose 2 in a row. And we're going to go up the line here. Seahawks are what is that? They're at the Browns, and the Browns are giving up 2 points. I don't know what's going on with the Browns, but Wesley.
Is this like one of the weirdest lines ever? I mean, yeah. The Browns are favored by 2 against the Seahawks.
Yeah, that's why I said it that way.
I'm definitely taking the Seahawks. I'll give up more than, I don't know, Seahawks.
Okay. Yeah, Seahawks for me too.
Yeah, Seahawks for me as well. All right, Eagles at the Vikings. The Vikings giving up 3 points. The Vikings sporadic, but I don't know. They put it together last week. The Eagles don't have a very good pass defense. Wesley.
Yeah, this Vikings team is not one that I can definitely trust to win a game. I'm going to take the Eagles to win this one.
All right. Tomas?
I'm going to go with the Vikings. I think they might have gotten a little something going on, so I'm going to go with the Vikings.
Right. I picked the Vikings too, but, man, I don't know. Cousins, all that money, not very much production, but I'm going to go with the Vikings. The Fightin' Garys at the Packers, and the Packers are 4.5-point underdogs. What you say, Wesley?
I'm going to take the Packers at home on Monday Night Football.
I'm going to go. Let me tell you, the Lions have really impressed me this season.
Yep.
And I think I'm going to go ahead and take those Lions in the 4.5 points.
You know what, Tomas? I'm going to take the Fightin' Garys. The Lions have been playing well. One of these years they have to put it together, and I think that, I don't know, they're not putting together with wins, but they're playing better. So I'm just not impressed with the Packers either. Too much hype. Yeah. I don't think they're as good as everybody makes them out to be. I'm going to pick the Lions to go on the road and beat the Packers. Let's do one more real quick.
Hey, good luck getting a discount on your counting this year, Dave.
Exactly. Cowboys at the Jets. The Jets are giving up 8.5 points at home. Really quick, Wesley.
Man, if Sam Darnold wasn't playing, I would give up the points. But I think that the Cowboys will win, but it'll be within 8.5. Sam Darnold coming
Tomas?
Back.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Cowboys will win, but I don't think they'll win by more than a touchdown. So yeah, I'll take the Jets on the 8.5.
The Cowboys I'd love to pick against them, but the Jets just don't have enough. Now let's talk about the Saints real quick. They're 1-point underdogs at the Jaguars. Wesley, a quick thought on the game.
It's going to be about keeping Minshew from being crazy. We really got to sit and just watch Leonard Fournette, make sure he's not busting through. Our defensive line is not letting people run the ball. Once we make the Jaguars, one-dimensional, they're going to have a lot of problems. Saints are going to win this game by 17.
Tomas?
Yeah, I think that I go Saints and at least two touchdowns to win this game.
Wow, definitely. So they, you know, beat the brakes off of them. All right. Yeah. For Wesley Coleman, the absent Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast crew on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We'll talk to you next week.
Don't do the worm.
Anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Oh boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh girl, give your time to Davy, Heath, and Tomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast.